Man, Christmas is coming up soon, and what better than a fine antique jewelry piece to say I love you to that significant other on Christmas morning? Or something like that. I'm Joey, he's Jack. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Final hour with Philip Lee, historian, after the break.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. 245,000 jobs came back into the economy last month, according to the Labor Department. That's fewer than expected.
That's less than half of October's number of 610,000 jobs created. Also, the unemployment rate fell to 6.7% from 6.9% a month earlier. The economy has now regained a little more than half of the 22 million jobs lost since the pandemic began.
Fox's Roger Stern. In New York City, two U.S. Marshals are wounded, and a man suspected of shooting a Massachusetts state trooper last month is killed in a shootout.
Authorities believe that he was hiding out here in the Bronx. They acted on a tip, and at 5:30 this morning, U.S. Marshals, NYPD, joined by the state police, showed up at a home here to make an arrest. Shots were fired, and there are unconfirmed reports this morning that a second suspect is in custody. He could be charged with harboring a fugitive.
Fox's David Lee Miller. America's listening to Fox.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a storm system riding along the Gulf Coast affecting the state with showers today, but it should be out of the way by the weekend. So for today, showers are likely from time to time. I can't rule out maybe an afternoon thunderstorm, especially in South Alabama. Kind of a breezy day today with a high in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, most of the showers and drizzle will fade out by, let's say, midnight, and then it turns cooler, overnight low 38. Tomorrow, start of a storm-free weekend. Plenty of sunshine on Saturday. Highs in the upper 50s on Saturday and Sunday. We'll see some more clouds than sun on Sunday, but still dry. And then a little cooler on Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Montgomery police have launched a death investigation after a man was found dead downtown. Police responded to the 100 block of South Perry Street, where they found the man dead just after 7 o'clock last night. Police have not released the man's name or a cause of death. Statewide COVID-19 hospitalizations continue to increase. They are now up to more than 1,800. State health officials say confirmed cases have now topped 215,000. More than 35,000 cases were confirmed in the last 2 weeks. More than 3,000 people have died from COVID-19 in Alabama. And hundreds of new jobs are on the way to the Selma-Dallas County area. Hometex, Inc. plans to expand its PPE manufacturing operation in Selma. The expansion is expected to create more than 300 new jobs. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. If you've been around Montgomery as long as I have, you may recall calling Bernie for all your typewriter needs. Well, we've evolved past typewriters, even though our experienced techs can still fix them. Bernie's now a member of the Xerox Business Solution with offices throughout the Southeast. Bernie is more than just a local copier company you have trusted for over 55 years. We have become specialists in remote worker, learning transition technology, and digital marketing campaigns. Did you know that Xerox provides managed IT services? With over 30 years of nationwide experience delivering industry-leading IT services, we are poised to help your organization get the most value from your technology investment. Whether your focus is printing systems, local network support, or leveraging the power of the cloud, Xerox has the resources and know-how to get your organization on the cutting edge. Give us a call at 271-4750 or on my cell at 201-0199.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
David Little from Tucker Pecan is with us, and Christmas is just down the street. You've got to get your pecans for your cooking, and you can also get a good pecan pie.
We have got fresh-made pecan pies. When you walk in the door, you will smell them all across the room. We've got chocolate-covered pecans, cinnamon pecans, honey pecans, praline, white chocolate, dark chocolate. We've got them all, and the roasted and salted, that's your favorite, Bubba. We have them every day. We roast every day. We've got all the great candies you can imagine, and they're made in-house by us. That's what we are. We are the pecan people. We do pecans, pecan candies. We do jellies, local people's jellies like the Bearded Pickle Guys, Bordeaux Sauce, Alabama Sunshine, all these great items we've got in there. We've got cheese straws. You name it, we've got it, Bubba. And if you want a great gift to give to somebody, come in. We've got a big selection of Christmas gifts, and we can wrap them for you. Come on in and see us.
Where are you located, my friend?
At 350 North McDonough Street in downtown Montgomery. You can check us out on the web at tuckerpecan.com or call us at 262-4470 or like us on Facebook.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for News and Views from 9 till noon, Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's News and Views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. On the phone with me, my co-host, Jack Campbell. How you doing?
How you doing?
Very well. And joining us now on these airwaves, very happy to have him. This is exciting. Always love talking to historians and those interested in our past and bringing more enlightenment to it. His name is Philip Lee. Mr. Lee. Philip, how are you, sir?
Okay. How are you, Joey?
Very good. Now, you've written many books. We're talking about six books here. The most recent came out in September of this year, correct?
That's correct.
It's the Causes of the Civil War, and I'll admit in full disclosure, because I don't want to blow smoke here. I've got a lot of books, a lot of irons in the fire. Because you've written so much, I can't say I've read every word. And so I'll keep this pretty freewheeling, and we'll just go through the causes. So I want to start here, Philip.
Okay.
Why history? Because I'm always fascinated with historians. I read the origins of their own history. Why did you become interested in the topic so much that you want to do the grueling task, almost the lonely task of writing about it yourself? Why history?
Well, if you were to wake up, and if you woke up this morning and you didn't know where you were and you didn't know what your name was, you didn't know where you had come from, where would you go? History gives us that kind of frame of reference. History tells us where we were, and with knowing where we were, we can have some idea of where we want to go.
Absolutely. And why it seems you've mostly written about the Civil War. Lately, I've been all over the map, stuck in the Peloponnesian War and jumped to the Napoleonic Wars. But why the Civil War to dedicate so many books to it?
Well, good for you. I applaud you for your broader interest. It goes back to my childhood. I'm 73 years old now, so it goes back to my childhood. And the latest book on the causes of the Civil War was really, that was motivated by a desire to do something to combat the trend towards the destruction of Confederate monuments, because I felt that the people that were taking down the monuments did not have a good understanding of why they were doing that. I mean, I think the motivations and the explanations they used for doing that were bogus. They were false. And so I wanted to provide the proper perspective for people to use if they were going to confront county commissioners about why you should keep the monuments up.
Is there an element of counterfactual to the book that if, say, the North had done this, it could have ended up in a different way?
Well, there is a little bit of that because basically, if you in the final analysis, what the Lincoln's Republican Party, in their platform, their purpose was not to destroy slavery, but to keep it from expanding into the territories.
Right.
And if you look at the real reason they wanted to do that is they wanted to keep the blacks out of the federal territory so that all of the new states would be available to white people. So there was white supremacy in the North, too. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying there wasn't racism and white, you know, a white supremacy feeling in the South. But the whole point that is missed is that the Lincoln's Republican Party was all about keeping the blacks out of the territories. And the proof of it is there were 33 states before the Civil War. Since then, we've had 17 states added, and the last being Hawaii and Alaska. None of the 17 states that were added after the Civil War started had more than 1 or 2% of population black, whereas the 11 states of the Confederacy were 40% black. The real purpose of the Republican Party was to keep blacks quarantined in the South. That's exactly what they did.
Well, and I find many aspects of this argument interesting. For me, I'll start on the personal. For instance, it's always interesting when people claim war has decided ideas. And so the ideas of secession and nullification, I know how that sounds coming. I'm a young white man here in Montgomery, Alabama. I know how that sounds to certain ears. But when you look at the history of those ideas, were there not many instances of northern states wanting to secede? I think there's a story, if I'm correct, the Wisconsin Supreme Court wanting to nullify the Fugitive Slave Act. So these ideas, they shouldn't necessarily be tainted in the way they've become tainted in mainstream history, let's say.
Joey, I'm impressed with your knowledge. Few people know that the Wisconsin Supreme Court tried to nullify the Fugitive Slave Act, which was a federal law, and a state Supreme Court tried to nullify it. And of course, they couldn't do it. I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court overruled them on that. But to your other point, there was actually at least five times before the South seceded when the New England states wanted to secede. First was George Washington's first administration. The northern states said, you know, if you don't repay our Revolutionary War debts, we're going to leave. Secondly, they did the same thing when the Louisiana Purchase was purchased because they anticipated that those states would weaken the influence of the New England states in the federal government. And then the third instance came up during the trade embargo that Jefferson announced to try and avoid the War of 1812. He announced a trade embargo in order to prevent the British from taking advantage of us on the high seas. That didn't work, so we went into the War of 1812, and then the New England states again threatened to secede. In fact, they even traded with the enemy. The maritime center of the United States at that time was in New England. They traded with the enemy during the War of 1812, and they also, despite getting orders from President James Madison to put their militia into the national service, they ignored it. They did not help defend the United States during the War of 1812 as much as they should have. And then the fifth time was during the annexation of Texas. Former President John Quincy Adams, who was from Massachusetts, announced that he felt that the annexation of Texas, which would be a slave state, justified the dissolution of the unit, meaning Northeastern secession by New England.
Well, and that's what's so fascinating about our nation's history is that we're almost many nations within one, and of course there's been many history intervening since then, and you can think of course, like World War II really has set the table for where we are now, but these ideas don't necessarily go away, and the idea of decentralization and this competition doesn't go away. And you know, you mentioned your motivation for writing this book, Causes of the Civil War, And again, folks, we're talking to Philip Lee, author, historian, mostly focused on the Civil War, most of his books. And you can find him on Amazon, Causes of the Civil War. I'm looking at right now on Amazon, paperback, Kindle versions. Check it out. It's very quick. Philip Lee, L-E-I-G-H. Let's talk about today. When you saw people tearing down these statues, and I admitted at the time when all this was going on, my ignorance of this time and of, say, memorials here, I don't want to tear them down. I think it's a good rule. What is it, Chesterton's idea? When you see a wall or a fence, you should know why it's put up before you remove it or pull it down, something to that effect. And so let's speak to that. When you see folks wanting to tear down monuments and do things very quickly, why should they maybe hesitate and take a beat and understand why they were put up?
Well, because when you marry the spirit of this age, he who marries the spirit of this age may find himself a widower in the next, or will find himself a widower in the next. I think when we tear down these monuments, we're yielding to the spirit of this age. And I'm old enough to remember the Vietnam War, and I remember when the soldiers were coming back from Vietnam, and some people in the public would, disparage them. Hey, LBJ, how many babies did you kill today? They did not welcome the troops coming back from Vietnam. In fact, they were insulting toward them. Now, anyone my age that can remember that cringes with shame, absolute shame that we let that happen to them, or that anyone that participated in that feels that way. Even, I think, Jane Fonda has apologized for having gone to Hanoi, because she had married the spirit of that age, and the Americans of that time had married the spirit of that age, but they now regret it. This is going to, I think there's a good chance. We take a big risk when we take down these monuments that we're going to feel the same way in 15 years. Just because there's a mass, there's a mass feeling one way at any particular time doesn't mean it's going to continue. In 1919, for example, the United States got on its morality high horse and outlawed distilled spirits, alcoholic beverages. And what, 13 years later, they abolished that. They completely reversed themselves after the Prohibition era.
Right.
And that was only about 13 years. I think there's a big risk that when we tear down these statues, we're going to feel the same way. Let me put this in context, if I might just take a minute.
Sure.
If you 5% of the Southerners that went to war for the 11 state Confederacy, they represented 5% of the white population of those states, and the white population provided almost all of their soldiers. If we were to lose 5% of our population today in a war today, it would be 17 million. 17 million. Who could possibly criticize somebody 20 or 30 years later for putting up statues to our 17 million young men killed in whatever war we've got into? That's precisely what was happening in the Southern states. Right now, the Southern states are not insensitive to other heritage. Right now, 80% of the streets and avenues named after Martin Luther King are in the former 11 Confederate states, even though they represent about 30% of the country's population. There's no feeling in the Southern states to ignore the contributions of black leaders, but there's no reason, given the sacrifices that those soldiers made almost entirely to protect their homes from invasion, should be destroyed and demeaned. As a matter of fact, and I give credit to an Alabaman for bringing this to public notice, the first American battle flag, the first American flag to be on top of the Surrey Castle during World War II at Okinawa, the invasion of Okinawa and the capture of the Surrey Castle, which is the stronghold of the Japanese Army on Okinawa, that first flag that was put up there was a Confederate battle flag. And the reason it was put there, this is the important thing, the reason it was put there was because the company that made the final assault of Marines that participated in that Normandy Marines that made that final assault captured that fortress was led by a company commander from South Carolina who was wounded so severely he was paralyzed for the rest of his life. And out of respect for their leader, they took that flag out of the inside of his helmet and put it up there on Uri Gadsden. Wow. Those kinds of soldiers, they were soldiers from all over the country. Right. But there's a lot of soldiers. That shows a lot of soldiers in World War II, Vietnam, Korea, even the Desert Storm and later, that were inspired by the courage and tenacity and the fight and the warrior spirit of the Confederate soldier. When we demean the Confederate soldier, we demean those soldiers as well.
Again, folks, we're talking...
Philip, this is...
Hey,
Philip, this is Jack Campbell. How you doing? Thank you for coming on.
Okay, Jack.
Do you believe that traditional textbooks that have been in existence for so many years don't tell the real story of why we had the Civil War?
Well, the textbooks that are available now don't. I think the historians today, maybe not without realizing it, but probably realizing it, they view history as a box of letters. They go in and choose the letters they want and arrange them like they like, and that's their version of history, and nobody else is permitted to go in and look at the box. The most obnoxious thing about the textbooks today and the teaching today is not just the textbook, it's the fact that the school, particularly the colleges and universities, censor anyone that does not fit the current, does not conform to the current interpretation of the war or Reconstruction. That is the biggest crime, is the censorship of the avoidance of free speech. If we had free speech, the other side of the story would get out. You can't just arrange these letters one way and say that's the end of the story, because it's not the end of the story.
Absolutely, especially when history can be such a complicated endeavor. And part of the work of the historian, you know better than I, Philip, is you have to make those choices when you're arranging things. And I'd imagine you appreciate when you read another historian, maybe who slightly disagrees, but it isn't a matter of ideological slugfest. It's more, hey, I've got some more texture here that can maybe be added to what you're doing. It's very unfortunate to me, and we got to hit a break here. But I noticed that you you wrote for the New York Times from 2012 to 2015 a series of 24 articles. It was during their Disunion series to commemorate the Civil War. And I want to ask you about, do you think you, and think about this, we're going to hit a break and you can answer when we come back. Do you think you would be invited back to the Times given, you know, the latest, the 1619 Project and what's been going on in the last couple of years and the whole hullabaloo over that? I'd love to get into that with you. 272-9228, if any audience members have questions. Again, folks, we're talking to Philip Lee, author, historian. You can check out all of his books on Amazon.com. It's Philip Lee, L-E-I-G-H. His latest book is Causes of the Civil War. It came out in September of this year. More news and views from 9 till noon when we come back.
Station on FM, live, local talk, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Here's to business. It may not be as usual, but it's getting done. And that's because of you, your business, and the people behind it. Your doors are opening, your customers are calling, your business is getting done, curbside and online. Wow Business is proud to support business owners like you by offering 1 gig internet for just $1.99 per month, so you can keep getting it done. Here's to you. Let's keep doing business together. Visit wowforbusiness.com. Offer for new customers subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Brought to you by AbbVie.
Yes?
Howdy, ma'am. I'm Bill, the electrician.
Oh, hello, Bill. Say, I like your houndstooth hat. Bama fan?
Well, sorta.
Oh, you're also wearing a War Eagle sweatshirt and a Troy jacket.
Yeah, well, I grabbed a hot wire last week. Kinda scrambled my brain.
Electricity is nothing to trifle with. That's why you only want electricians who are safety conscious and code compliant, like the experts at Crosby Electric.
Okay, ma'am, you take this 2x4, and if you notice I ain't saying much, give me a good knock on the head.
What?
All Crosby Electric team members are trained to make safety our number one priority to avoid dangerous situations.
All ready to go, ma'am. Just have to connect this wire and... Good as new.
Yeah, sure. Who's your favorite team?
Pistachio?
Don't take chances with electricity. Call the experts at Crosby Electric or visit us at crosbyelectric.com.
Every great pool has a great pool partner, and I'm not talking about a flotation device. I'm talking about a team of pros that make sure your pool is clean and pristine and always inviting. For me, that team is Fagan Pool Services. Veteran founded, owned, and operated for two generations. The Fagan family has 50 years. That's 50 years of experience in providing excellent pool service and maintenance. I picked Fagan after my previous service installed a system that failed after 6 months. Fagan came to the house, diagnosed the problem, and fixed it the same day, and they've been my team ever since. Fagan can handle all repairs, including pool liners, motors, pumps, filters, salt generators, and leak detection. Fagan pool technicians are dependable and deliver friendly customer service. I trust them completely. For renovations, repairs, and great service, partner up with Fagan. For a quote, go to Fagan, that's F-A-G-A-N, FaganPoolServices.com, or call 334-201-1819. That's 334-201-1819, Fagan Pool Services.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. I'm Joey Clark. My co-host Jack Campbell here. And joining us on the phone here for the hour, historian, author Philip Lee. And, Mr. Lee, where we left off was you contributed to the New York Times for their disunion project, wrote 24 pieces, I believe, for them. When you look at their latest project, the 1619 project, do you think, I'll just keep it simple, you would be welcome back? Or what is your appraisal of what has lately been put out there?
Well, if they wanted me to write an article about the Civil War, like the ones I did, I think they would accept it. For example, the first article I wrote about them, that kind of has the connection to Alabama, there was what I felt was the biggest mistake the Union made during the Civil War was they were tardy in the adoption of breech-loading rifles and repeaters. Those guns had actually been patented and in production for years before, not the repeaters, but the breech-loaders. And if they had not been tardy with that, they probably could have ended the whole war in a year because you get the repeaters that were used when General Wilson came through Alabama could shoot 7 shots without having to reload, which was a huge advantage of the Confederate soldier who could shoot 1 shot and then have to take a minute to reload. And so that sort of thing they would let me do. But they wouldn't want me to write about, you know, the causes of the war or you know, anything like that, because it would be, you know, at variance with their own interpretation. There is a revealing story about that.
Okay.
The New York Times was a prominent newspaper during the Civil War and thereafter, but it fell on hard times in the late 19th century, and they sold it to the owner of the Chattanooga Times, Olive Oakes. And Olive Oakes went up to New York, and he applied Southern work ethic to the New York Times and reestablished the reputation of the newspaper. I mean, there was a time, for example, in the United States from the 1940s to the 1960s, it was, you know, considered the newspaper of record, and that was really built by Olive Oakes and his descendants. He didn't have any sons, but he did have a daughter, and she married the Sellsberger. Bottom line is what I'm getting at. I knew that the New York Times had a connection to the South. And I knew there was an interesting story about Olive Oakes' mother, who was a diehard Confederate UDC woman. When she was buried, she was buried with the Confederate flag. During the war itself, she was living, her husband was a Northerner, so she was living in Cincinnati. He was a captain in the U.S. Army. And she was caught smuggling quinine, which was important at that time, across the a bridge from Ohio into Kentucky. And I don't know how she got, you know, released, but I told my editor, I said, you know, I'd like to do a story on that. I think it would be fascinating. And I was hoping that, you know, they would say, hey, that sounds great, and then open up the family archives to me, because I'd like to learn more about that story. Boy, he got back to me within an hour. He said, no, I ran that up the flagpole, and that won't fly.
Oh, man. Yeah, and it's, I love it, because, I mean, it's a, you talk about the spirit of the age. I mean, right now, a very interesting, the National Defense Authorization Act, one thing that's made a lot of headlines is President Trump is threatening to veto because of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, having to do with big tech and censorship. But another thing stuffed in the National Defense Authorization Act is they want to rename some military bases named after Confederate soldiers and Confederate officers. And it's just, I wonder why people get so caught up in the spirit of the age so quick, because stories, compelling narratives, like stories you want to tell, cut across ideology. They cut through what is, I think, ideologies are almost shorthand for a fuller worldview, in my opinion. And so I find it just very unfortunate that the politicians move so quickly based on the moment instead of actually looking into the texture and how complicated these things can be.
Well, Joey, I applaud you for your objectivity. You know, the principal difference between you and the academics is you just have objectivity. I'm not saying the academic professors aren't smart. They are, but they have no objectivity. They have only one interpretation and then one allowable interpretation. And it's happened before. I mean, it's just the extraordinary delusions and the madness of crowds. The masses get deluded sometimes, and that happened during Prohibition, right?
Oh, absolutely.
In 13 years, we've decided we're going to be morally superior to all the previous eras, and, you know, after 13 years, we said no. And you had to get 3/4 of the states to approve that amendment. So sometimes mass movements are sometimes just phony, and they just don't make any sense. And I fear we're caught up in that right now. It's a tragedy. There's a lot of talk about removing the name Lee from Washington and Lee University, but that school wouldn't be anything without Lee. He went there because it was a failing university. He could have taken a position after the war as the president of an insurance company and made lots of money. He said no. But he said, I'll take this offer from Washington College, which is in a small mountain town in Virginia, and was bankrupt. And he took that job, and he turned that thing around. Now they want to take his name out. It's shameful. It's absolutely shameful.
Well, and
it's madness.
It really is, and I want to reiterate this and kind of step back. Because especially around election time and this particular election and the news that's going on today, I mean, people are saying, I'm a young man, I'm only 32. Folks, you know, Jack's been around the block a few more times, been around a few more elections. But it's not just Jack. It's many folks I know. My elder is much wiser and have a little more experience than I do. So they've never seen anything like this. But in your opinion, especially the eras you've studied and written about, I mean, how divided do you sense our current time? How extraordinary do you find our current time, say, compared to, say, the Civil War and Prohibition?
My main impression of the current time is this is tyranny. And the best indication of tyranny is hypocrisy among the leaders. So you have the mayor of Austin, Texas, says everybody has to mask up and then can't go anywhere over Thanksgiving, and he goes to Mexico. You have the Speaker of the House saying everybody has to mask up, and then she goes to a hairdresser without a mask. They just go on and on and on. Chris Cuomo of the cable news network says everybody needs to mask up, and then he gets caught outside, when he's infected with COVID, without a mask. It's when hypocrisy is not the only indicator, but it's one solid indicator. When you see hypocrisy among your leaders, that is a clear indication of tyranny.
There you go. Jack, I don't want to hog the ball here.
No, you've asked some great questions.
I'd like to address Section 230 and also the military bases. May I do that?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I'm on board with Section 230. That thing needs to be changed. But what that is a particular law that enables the consumer-facing technology companies such as Facebook and Google and YouTube to censor. It enables them to censor what we put up there with impunity. They need to make a choice. It was originally established in order to protect them from crazy users like me saying scandalous things on their platform. It would protect them from being any liability. But once they start censoring what we put up there, then they become a publisher, and a publisher is vulnerable to legal cases of liability. They need to take on that responsibility. Either you censor us and become vulnerable to lawsuits over liability, or you remain a platform like a telephone company where you can't be responsible for anything that's said over your network. But you can't be both. You've got to be one or the other. As far as the military bases are concerned, yes, I think that is wrong. And even beyond that, there's a bill that has passed the House and is in the Senate, which would remove all Confederate memorials from all national battlefield parks. Well, my response to that is, if that happens, I will write my two senators and my Congress lady, and I will say, here's what I would like you to do, is I would like you to sell all national battlefield parks, take the proceeds and pay down the national debt and fire all the employees, because I'm never going to go to any national battlefield park that has no Confederate monuments on it.
It just, I don't understand the motivation too, and I'm trying to whether it's for touchy-feeling, bleedy-heart reasons or more strategic reasons, I'm trying empathy these days, Philip. But sometimes when they move these sorts of bills, it just seems unconscionable to me, especially when you're talking about true history of this nation. I guess this is something that's happened in the past before as well, though. If you can erase history, then you can say all these people never existed, and you can write whatever story you want about them, I suppose.
Well, Will Durant put it very well, and that is that condemning others is a dishonest way of praising ourselves. And these people are so deluded, they don't realize, we see that this is merely a dishonest way of praising themselves. They're trying to establish themselves as morally superior to anyone who disagrees with them. You're not morally superior unless you make a sacrifice. And none of these people are making any sacrifice whatsoever. You can go out there and condemn Confederate monuments to the nth degree, and you're never going to get be fired from a job of teaching in a university or anything like that. It's really the opposite. What we have from the colleges and universities today when it comes to Civil War history and Reconstruction is it's really kind of the reverse of, the old wisdom that if you don't learn history, you'll find that history will repeat itself. The only people that are repeating themselves now are the historians. And they keep telling us the same darn message over and over, and it's a false message.
Absolutely. And it just seems like also it, I've been looking for ways to come up with a reconciliation. Like you mentioned, there are so many boulevards named after Dr. King. I think there's a recent effort here to great attorney Fred Gray, civil rights attorney, to name streets after him. That's a major recent push, commemorations to Rosa Parks, and I think these are great things. But is there a way we commemorate the Civil Rights Act, but we also reconcile that with the history of the nation without this game of I'm more equal than you, so to speak, because equality seems to be their highest virtue?
I cannot remember the exact tribe, but one of the African tribes has an ancient expression, which is don't replace your traditional values unless you know you have something better to replace them with. So don't replace your traditions unless you know you've got something better to replace it with. Well, I don't think replacing Confederate monuments with, the official. I mean, I'm sensitive to black discrimination against black, but Black Lives Matter, if you read their foundational documents, they are a socialist organization. So I don't think replacing Confederate monuments with Black Lives Matter graffiti is an improvement. And we need to be sure before we tear these things down that we do replace them with something superior. Plus, I think that if we don't just replace them but add, you know, monuments to Arthur Ashe or Dr. King or other black leaders, just add them so that the children growing up can look at the Statue of Lee and say, okay, he's admired for, what's he admired for? Versus, you know, here's the Statue of King. Okay, what's he admired for? You can see that there's a difference between the two, but both of them have admirable quality.
So let me paint a real-life scenario. It happened here. The statue of Robert E. Lee was pulled down in front of Lee High School here in Montgomery, and it was a horrible thing. This sort of iconoclasm of tearing things down is not, in my opinion, the right approach. But then it led to a discussion, and subsequently, the school board here, these are majority black schools now, have decided to change names. Of course, it's kind of like the Washington football team. We don't have a new name yet. We're just removing names, which always, to me, is a bit of a tell. What's the positive replacement is what I'm very much concerned with. And I think they have every right to do that, being majorities controlling the school board. And it led to interesting discussions with a lot of, let's say, young black men would call into the show who were recent graduates of Lee, and they didn't necessarily have ill will. It wasn't over-the-top histrionics from them. But they also didn't understand why I have to walk by this statue every day. What would you say to, say, an 18-year-old, 19, or we were getting calls from people in their mid-20s who had graduated from Lee, young black men and women who look at these things, want to change them? What would be your message to them about the history of, say, Lee himself?
Well, in the New York Tribune, which was the prominent newspaper during the 1870 when Lee died, at least as prominent, if not more prominent, than the New York Times, they sent a reporter down to Lexington, Virginia to cover his funeral. And to his amazement, the funeral procession included blacks. Blacks paid honor to him in the town of Lexington. They paid honor to him just as much as the whites. And he was ill for the last year of his life, and he was his doctor recommended he take a trip south, and he went all the way to Florida, you know, just get into a warmer climate. And all along the way, he was met by crowds that were overwhelming, and including blacks. Blacks were among them. They cheered him. Here's the thing about Lee that today's historians most often miss. If you read the contemporary accounts of people meeting Lee, not just when he was a general in the Confederate Army, but especially when he was a general in the Confederate Army, but even before, there are almost countless accounts of prominent people meeting General Lee who felt compelled to write down a memory, a reaction of what meeting him was like. They felt that they were in the presence of somebody that commanded respect from everybody around, and that that had natural leadership qualities that people would follow him anywhere. His army did that. By far, during the war, there was no commander on either side that had the popularity among the soldiers as much as Lee. Lee had his headquarters in a tent. He ate the same food as his soldiers. By contrast, U.S. Grant, the Battle of Shiloh, he was sleeping in a mansion 10 miles away from the battle. His breakfast was made by the slaves of the mansion owner. He did not get to. He was so far away from the battle. He did not get. He did not get there until it was well underway, and it was a surprise attack. And his whole army was surprised because he wasn't even there. But that was not Lee. Lee ate the same food. He slept in a tent, and his soldiers thought that the Battle of the Wilderness there was a breakthrough, where the Union army was charging. They were about to break through the defenses of the Confederate line. A brigade of Texans and Arkansans came up, and Lee said, "What brigade is it?" They said, "Texas." He said, "Array for Texas. We've got to stop this attack. I will lead you." He was on his horse Traveler. He got in front of the brigade. He was leading them to attack the Union soldiers, and the Texas brigade said, "You can't go. Lee to the rear. We'll stop this, but you can't go." They actually, in the heat of battle, turned the horse around and sent him to safety. When you have leadership like that, that's something you want to hold on to. That's a role model you want to emulate. At the Battle of Gettysburg, when Pickett's charge failed, it was his gamble to win the war early. He went out there to meet the returning troops, the defeated Confederate soldiers. And he said to them, "This is all my fault. Nobody is to blame but me." Now, compare that to Hillary. At this point, what difference does it make?
Right.
Lee has got the character that's going to lead us forward. Lee had the kind of character that this country will need among its leaders in the future. The kind of character I'd like to see in all of our citizens, black and white. I'd like to see the perseverance and of Dr. King as well in the hearts of all Americans. I think they both have something to show us. And this one-sided demonization of Lee and the Confederate soldier is, in my opinion, unforgivable.
Well, Philip, I think we need to leave it there, let it lie there, because that was a fantastic story.
Okay.
Fantastic assessment. I've got a lot of ads to get through here and just need to close up the shop here. I really appreciate your time today, sir. Folks, you can check out his books on Amazon.com. Philip Lee, L-E-I-G-H, not like the General Lee. And many books, including Prohibition Era, but a lot of focus on Reconstruction, the Civil War, including the latest book, Causes of the Civil War. Philip, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Jack, thank you. Joey, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And John Rice, thank you.
All right. See you later.
See y'all. Thank you. Well, that was fantastic. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jack, for setting that up. When the pandemic subsides, love to have him back in studio if he could. That'd be great. More news and views from 9 till noon when we come back.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey, everyone. Christy from Blue Valley Broadcasting, and I have been saying for years now how much I enjoy working out. I am so excited to be able to actually talk about how I do get to maintain that and the great coaching that I have. WP Fitness with Alita Coin is my secret to all of that. Whether you want to get stronger, you want to lose weight, you want to try new things like competitions, WP Fitness has that. Just whatever goal you have in mind, that is what Alex provides. And I want him to share with you a little bit about what WP can offer.
Yes, we offer sports performance training and adults training class. Our sports performance training is for our 7-year-olds and on up. In our adults class, we train people to get ready for their 5Ks and just general physical preparation.
One thing is for sure is that anything that you're looking for, WP has that. So please tell them where they can find you.
1555 Eastern Boulevard, the Old Sam's Building. Our Facebook page and our Instagram is WP Alabama, and our website is WPAlabama.com.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Bo Goodson Real Estate School in Montgomery. If you have ever considered starting your own business, or maybe, like me, had this fascination for the real estate business, then come join us. Our course covers the real estate law, agency, contracts, property management, and leases. We also discuss financing a home, property taxation, and how homes are sold in this market. Even with this pandemic, we've been showing, selling, listing, managing homes at a fast pace. Our supply is low, and there are plenty of buyers. Maybe now is the time you decide about a lifelong career of helping other people getting into a home for their family. Call us for details at the Bo Goodson Real Estate School. Online courses are also available. 551-0225 or my email, bogoodson@charter.net.
Thursday night classes have resumed. Call today.
At Marguerite's, we make it, we really make it. And for this Christmas, for $99, we've made a gemstone diamond drop earrings. That's right, in all your birthstone colors. Unbelievably, only for $99. We're doing a 14-carat white or yellow gold with the birthstone of your choice. Only at Marguerite's do we do a Christmas special for $99. Nobody else in the country touches us. We're in the Pepperidge Shops. We're open every day to Christmas. Come visit us. Let us help you out. Don't miss up on the $99 Christmas special drop earrings.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a storm system riding along the Gulf Coast affecting the state with showers today, but it should be out of the way by the weekend. So for today, showers are likely from time to time. I can't rule out maybe an afternoon thunderstorm, especially in South Alabama. Kind of a breezy day today with a high in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, most of the showers and drizzle will fade out by, let's say, midnight, and then it turns cooler, overnight low 38. Tomorrow, start of a storm-free weekend. Plenty of sunshine on Saturday. Highs in the upper 50s on Saturday and Sunday. We'll see some more clouds than sun on Sunday, but still dry. And then a little cooler on Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From all of us at Brubaker Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia, and Infiniti, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's better at Brubaker.com.
Hi, this is Dan Black with Dan Black Studios. We can convert your home movies and videos, as well as slides and photos, to digital files and DVD, whether it's VHS, Betamax, or any other home video format. We can also transfer your photos and videos from your iPhone as well, freeing up valuable storage. And if your new car doesn't have a CD player, we can convert your favorite tunes to a USB drive. Call 279-6036 or go online to danblackstudios.net.
Get the best prices with the once-a-year sales event going on now at Prattville Carpet. Now through the end of the month, take advantage of the best deals on high-quality flooring for your home. Plus, receive 12-month interest-free financing with approved credit. Call 285-8117 to schedule your free pre-measurement. Make your purchase and save big. It's that simple. It's the once-a-year sales event going on now at Prattville Carpet, 2201 Cobbs Ford Road.
Have you heard about the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest?
They're talking about on the radio, you know.
Well, you can hear it on the radio. I mean the radio. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1 WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Welcome back. Final moments here of news and views from 9 till noon here on a Friday. What a week. Thank you again to Philip Lee for that fantastic interview. Y'all can, again, check out his work at Amazon.com. Philip Lee, L-E-I-G-H. Thank you to Jack Campbell, John Rice for setting up that interview. I really enjoyed it. It was a great way for me to end the week here. A lot has happened. A lot will happen here in these next few days, in this next week in particular, so y'all stay tuned. This is part of News and Views brought to you by New Look Decorating Center. New Look Decorating Center, you can stop by there today at 6237 Atlanta Highway, right where Bell Road dead ends to Atlanta Highway, 6237 Atlanta Highway. Say hi to the owner, Brian Carr, the manager, Brett Lanham. They're both paint specialists, and they can give you that inspiration to repaint your home, the interior or the exterior. You can do the whole home at once, or maybe just do one room. Repaint the bedroom, repaint the kitchen. Maybe the front porch has been getting too much sun over the years. They're a Benjamin Moore retailer, so any interior or exterior paint and stain supplies, New Look Decorating Center is the place to go. When you're driving there on Atlanta Highway, you'll see it. The little strip center. Benjamin Moore's New Look Decorating Center. They have that expert eye. And they also have that personal touch where they remember your name, they keep your information on file so you know exactly the paint and stain type you used before, especially do-it-yourselfers who are doing one room at a time. That is a great service. So stop by or call them today at 271-0007, 271-0007. So we shall see where developments go here with the election. I was telling friends, family members, especially over the Thanksgiving holidays. Like my brother's new wife, Caroline, she's awesome. She's in the midst of medical school, so she's not watching a lot of, actually a residency. She's not in the middle of watching a lot of the news like, say, I would be. And she asked me, aren't you glad the election's over? I kind of looked at her in a very nice way, a little exacerbated. It's not over. It's not over. And yes, I think these are worthy birth pangs, so to speak, though. This is a worthy thing to go through, no matter the outcome. Unfortunately, it does look like, though, that no matter the outcome, tens of millions of Americans are going to believe the election was stolen. If it goes to Biden, tens of millions of Trump voters are going to think it's stolen. If it goes to Trump, the unlikely outcome, of course, tens of millions of Americans who are not following the same things you and I are going to think it's stolen. The good of this is that we learn more about our system. We learn more about our country. And if we stay on the guardrails, if nobody starts to, well, perpetrate violence in the streets, and I'm not hinting at it, I'm saying that could be an unexpected thing. If nothing too crazy happens, I think we'll come out of this stronger. We'll come out of this year with the pandemic stronger. And let's not get too caught up in the spirit of the age, as you heard Mr. Lee say. So thank y'all for listening. I'll be back on Monday morning, bright and early at 9 a.m. But stay tuned because Dan Morris with the Dan Morris Show is next. The Friday edition, TGIF. See, I just need to shut up now. Dan is next. Y'all stay tuned.